Good morning to everyone. Brother Martin's been doing a good job with a series of lessons that he started, I think, the week that I was out on love. Also had another lesson on love last week. And Glennon had some songs this morning talking about that. It's a very, very big, broad topic. We know from the Bible that really the message of God, God is love, and that the word that we use, the Bible, Old and New Testament, was God's love shown to us. It's all about love, and we've certainly sung many songs as a congregation. There's many songs that have been done by human beings about love and how this connectivity between person and person and God and man, that's what it's all tied up to be. There's a lot of things that I might cover today that Abe's already talked about. There's things that Abe might talk about that we'll maybe touching on again. And like he and I were discussing this morning, this is one of those subjects that you can keep going over and over and over again, and all it should do is keep applying things to us. It should not be anything strikingly new to us. We may have covered it many times, but how we apply it to our lives is very important. This morning we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians 12 through 13, at least in my section of the lesson. I'll do my best to try to avoid some of the things that Abe's going to be talking about. We tried to pair our lessons up as best we could, so one of us takes some part of it and one takes the other. It's good that we are talking about love. As you saw, I was a little bit concerned that Glendon's love wouldn't be there fully when he suggested that there might be a possibility that I went long today. To be truly loving, he should certainly be endearing and just ready to stay here till midnight, as should all of you. Let's get started. What is love? Abe and I usually throw definitions on here, so it's very possible he's already done this a few times. But since I typically use a different dictionary, it'll probably be something slightly new to you. Love is defined as an intense emotion of affection, warmth, fondness, and regard towards a person or thing. Typically, a person is what we like to think of love, but a lot of times dictionaries kind of move a little bit in their definition because of the way that people act the thing. It's like, oh, I love that car, or I love that house. Well, people don't really have an actual physical or emotional connection with that house or car, but that's just kind of how we are sometimes. Another thing that we see a lot of in love is expressing it in greetings. All of us at some time or another, to our parents, to our loved ones, to our boyfriend or girlfriend, husband and wife, as long as we're getting along, like to say, oh, I love you. Or when we're writing letters, how many times have you said at the very conclusion of somebody, to somebody that's very important to you, especially a family member, with love, and you sign your name? Or lovingly, or I love you. I'm really happy that my family, no matter where we are, me and my brothers and sister, we get off the phone and say, hey, I love you, I'll talk to you later. And I've heard others of you sometimes on the phone do that. Some people are not that comfortable with saying that out at work, especially. Somebody calls you on the cell phone and is like, okay, I love you. It's like, you take care too, or something. They try to mask it. But if we really are truly loving people, we're going to let that be known with the people that we really love. Also in relationships, we've got a few relationships on here, and I kind of talked about that. The relationship with mother and child. You see mothers with these little babies in their arms, and the baby can't understand a word that the mom's saying. They say, I love you so much. I love you. And they do all the things that moms do and dads do and other family members do. Fathers and childs, too. They a lot of times will express that. Fathers sometimes are a little bit less often do they verbalize that, but they try to show that in the things that they care about that. Again, mother, father, husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, especially in the boyfriend, girlfriend, and early husband and wife relationship, everything's about love. I love you. Oh, I do too. I love you. And a lot of us older people think, oh, Jesus, this is terrible. Child and child. A lot of times kids, like I said, my brothers and sister, we care about each other. We love each other. And it's important for us to remind each other that we love each other. Same thing with grandparents, aunts, uncles, cousins. And family members, just hopefully we've got that relationship. I made the mistake of trying to go page by page through Amazon to see how many pages talked about. I did a search for songs that had love in the title. I was on page 12, 13, 14. And Amazon liked to do it so you could just see the next page. And I'm like, oh, there's not that many. I finally just went to the very end of it and it said 684,834 song titles with love in it. So you guys might want to go ahead and download all those for yourselves and just try to see which one of them you like. I'd say there's probably a high percentage of them that aren't that great, but just to see how much love is used in our vernacular. And there is a lot of love in the world. But as I said, there's not a lot of love directed in the ways God would like to have it. So the question for today, and I've got up there on the title, what is love? So how can we truly love someone? In 1 John 4, 7 through 8, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. I said that right off the beginning, and the Bible is very clear about that. God's love is so important. It is the very foundation of all the love that we all should try to mimic. But how is God's love demonstrated? I've talked about these things. I bring them up frequently in some of our lessons. He created the earth. He created the life for us. He created the sun for our warmth, the moon and stars for us to behold. He certainly created us. He gave us choices, skills, abilities, and He gave us His own Son. And He allowed us to be and will forgive sin with repentance. I've talked about that. It's one thing to bring something into existence or one thing to foster something. Think about it from our individual standpoint. It's one thing to buy something for ourselves. But if something happens to that, it gets broken, to keep repairing it to the point where you're always fixing it because you care so much about it. And God Himself is love. So how can we understand the love that God has? Two passages in the book of John. John 5:37 says, "And the Father Himself who sent me has testified of me. You've neither heard His voice at any time nor seen His form." So if we're trying to understand what love is and we're trying to understand who God is, Jesus says this, and He says, how is it possible for us to know God and know the love that He has for us if we've not seen Him? We've talked about this in some of our classes. Well, the Old Testament talks about God visiting people and talking to people. We know from passages in the New Testament that we've basically been talking to angels, or man has been talking to angels. Further down in John, in 14:7, Jesus says, "If you had known me, you have known my Father also, and from now on you know Him and you have seen Him." Basically saying, I am my Father embodied here on this earth. I am just exactly like Him. Everything, every attribute that He has, I am mimicking because I am His Son. I am faithful. I am true. I am honest. And I will not do anything that my Father did not want. So we can see in Jesus' life what absolute true love is. And we go back through Jesus' life. What did He do for people? Was He always the type of person to say, "Hey, I'll get back to you later. I got other important things to do. I got this job to do. I need to work around the house, make some wood stuff for my mom and dad. I can't get to that." He was never like that. As far as we know from Jesus' life, every time somebody needed something, He gave it to them if they had the right heart. And that's certainly true for God as well. We can look at all that we have and we can see who Jesus was and the person that He was to know God. I almost went back and edited that because I pointed this out before right there, but you see the pronoun there. I always make a big point about when you put things in text, you should always capitalize the deity when we're referring to God and Christ. That one slipped by me. So we can try to be like them. The golden rule, and I had one of these, I shared this with Abe yesterday just to make sure I didn't cross over any of his outline on there. There's actually a couple passages and several passages depending on when you separate the different Gospels apart. We talk about the golden rule, but this thought is carried through even back in Leviticus. In 19, verse 18, it says, "You shall not take vengeance nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." More familiar passage we associate with this is Matthew 7:12. "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Basically says, if you want to show love to somebody, you treat every other person in your life, no matter who they are, people that you may not like, just like you would want them to treat you. You want your mom and dad to treat you a certain way, well, treat those people a certain way. You want your aunt or uncle or your wife or your husband to treat you a certain way, do the same thing to them. And that's one of the things that we get into in life. Sometimes it does kind of wear us down. Life is not easy. There's not, even though we talk about how much love people sing about and talk about, people don't show a lot of love. A lot of the problems that we see is just that lack of love. People know what it is, but they don't use it properly. And that's one reason why it's brought to our attention as Christians, is because, remember, the Bible tells us that we're not to be like the world. We're supposed to be a little bit different. We're peculiar people. We want to be like that. We want to show love constantly in our lives, even if it's not easy or simple for us. So what is love? One of the things I talked about here as we're getting into 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and 13, I said it was where my lesson was coming from today. We talk about the body, and we've covered this passage many times, and we've looked at the relationship about the eyes and ears and hands and feet. But today I want you to really pay special attention to love among this. I'm going to read through these few screens here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You might want to keep your Bibles open just to make sure my text is accurate. But it says, "The body is one and has many members. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body. So also is Christ. For what by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." Continuing on, verses 15 through 19. "If the foot should say, 'Because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, am I not of the body?' Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing? And if the whole were hearing, where would the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as He pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be?" 20 through 21, "But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you,' nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' Our bodies need each member." And again, we've talked about this passage and we try to pull it into the congregation and we say, yeah, some of us are like hands, some of us are like feet, some are like eyes and ears, and we kind of relate those things. But again, I think the reason that these two chapters, as it brings out often, have been penned by men and separated by men, they were really supposed to be connected there. Consider how much love, and I put that in quotes there, our body does not actually have that emotion that we talked about. My hand doesn't just love my eyes and ears and stuff like that. But you think about the definition of what love is. Again, it's an intense emotion of affection, warmth, fondness, and regard towards a person or thing. Our eyes do have a regard for our mouth. Our hands do have a regard for our brain. And all of our body is like that. We don't think about it that often, but they're all interrelated. They have to have one another. We know, we've seen a lot of this happen with war, when people lose arms and legs and fingers and eyes and stuff in the warfare that they fight. I mean, those are traumatic things. And if you see some of these guys that have to deal with that, here they were so brave and they get into situations where things just didn't work out for them. That impacts their whole body. The rest of their lives, they are impacted by those things. Some of the things, have you ever heard when we talk about how people are so sensitive to things around them or people around them? Have you ever heard somebody say, "I could hear what he or she were thinking"? You ever been someplace, maybe you were talking to somebody and you look over at somebody and you're talking to them and out in the corner you see somebody going, and like, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, they're never going to stop talking to me, or I know why they asked that question. You know those things, and you have people that just know you well enough that you can sink the thoughts just by a slight glance. You ever heard somebody say, "You took the words right out of my mouth"? You know, in the middle of talking to somebody. Some people are extremely skilled at this. They can actually not stop doing this, because you ever work with somebody and you're in the middle of saying something, "Well, I really think we..." Well, actually, I was thinking, "No." They just keep throwing those things out there and like, "That's not what I'm talking. Stop like it." Other times you have people that are so in sync that they can actually finish people's sentences. And whether that drives you crazy or not, sometimes it just shows you how well people know you. Another thing that we might hear somebody say, "I knew you were going to say that. That is I knew you were going to tell me that." How do we know those things? Are we just somehow possessed by these special abilities? Do we have these gifts that they talk about also in here? It's not it. It's just, you know the situation, you know the person, you know how they're talking about in that conversation, and it's easy to jump to where they're going to be. True love, or of one mind, makes two work as one. Look again at our scripture. Skipping through here, I'm not going to read it all again. The foot says it's not of the hand, so it's not of the body. What about the ear not being of the eye? If the whole body were the eye, where would the hearing be and smelling? Each one of them are in the body. We're all put together. So our bodies function in harmony, and I again put the word, quote, lovingly, or an intense regard for one another. The eye watches out for where the foot goes. You know, I think we probably never realize this as much as we're walking around at night. You turn the lights off, maybe you have to get up, use the restroom, or check something, or lock the door, or whatever. Have you ever tried to get through the house when it's extremely dark? How many times do you walk around like this, feeling around, okay, there's the chair, there's the door, trying to get through the house? Sometimes you rely as much as you can on your eye. Your foot's doing the work, but your eyes are trying to watch out for it. Well, if it's too dark, and I talked about this, how many times have you been to a cool place like Mammoth Cave or something like that, and they flip the lights out, your hands become everything. Oh, my back just touched rock, I can't go that way. My hands feel that. I cannot see anything with my eyes. Sure, they love the rest of my body, but they're not useful right now, so I need to use my hands. I need to listen to the ear. Okay, I hear water running right in front of me, and it sounds like it's really far below me. I don't want to step there. So your body is just communicating so well. Again, like we said, the ears are listening for things to be aware of. The very important. You see a lot of people on the bike paths and stuff like that, and you're running. Maybe you're out there. People say don't wear things on your ears. Don't wear headphones. Don't wear iPods or anything like that, because sometimes if you're running and somebody comes up behind you and you're not aware of it, you can get hurt. You can have somebody even attack you. It could be a car. I mean, you just want to make sure that you're aware of those things. Our ears have this ability to listen for things back behind us, so our body can be careful for that. Again, our hands feel heat. They balance for our feet. They pick up food. I mean, our bodies are just so connected. Our mouth and teeth for digestion, taking food and energy, and our fingers typing and writing. Our heart providing nonstop power. And it keeps on going and going and going. Another thing about the ears, and we forget about this a lot of times, we think about them hearing all the time, but if you ever had an earache or you had an ear infection, and all of a sudden you stand up and you're like, whoa. Well, our doctors tell us because our balance is controlled by our ears like that. Again, another one of the amazing things that God's put into our body. Like our body's members can take care of one another, we need to look out for one another here in the church and in life. Romans 12:10 said, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another. One thing that happens a lot of times on these types of lessons is we feel like somebody is saying, okay, church, you're not loving each other enough. You need to start loving more. And that's not what the purpose of this lesson, and in fact many lessons are. It's just saying that we need to be able to get into the sink. We need to be able to get into the fact, just like our bodies, if our hand moves, our feet automatically step forward and take care of that weight imbalance. The rest of our body takes care of that. Our muscles are moving to move around. The church just needs to be like that. It needs to be nimble. It needs to be fast reacting, and it needs to be there for full support. So when it says, be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love and honor, giving preference to one another, again, going back to Jesus, the first thing that I should do is try to help those around me. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says that all you do be done with love. And again, that definition, an intense emotion of affection, warmth, fondness, and regard towards a person in this case. God made our bodies 100% compliant. We hear a lot about compliance today, and if you work anywhere that has a lot of expectations for you, they always want compliance. You see all these schools with these banners on the front of them that has state excellence. We reached a certain mark, and I think Clinton Massey's got the biggest banner I've ever seen on any school in my life. It's like three stories tall, and it says, School of Excellence and Distinction. It's like, ooh, they want you to know that they're on the compliance list for the state, even though they've probably destroyed the lives of many teachers in the process. So obeying, obliging, or yielding, especially in a submissive way, that's what compliant means. 1 Corinthians 12:24-26, But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism. Schism, the definition there, is division or disunion in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Again, I pointed this out before. You reach down, you grab something, it's hot. Why did your foot pop up in the air and your hand jerk back and you're like, ooh, and your mouth makes a sound? What's the purpose of all that? Well, that's that body feeling that one member suffered and it's all reacting to it. We do the same thing. We step on something. Why do we step on something? We pull our leg up. The other foot automatically start bouncing and other kind of hop around and stuff. Your body is just reacting. It says, okay, member, I can tell something just happened to you. We're all going to work on that. It's so in sync. It's just amazing. And again, with rejoicing about that is too. We'll talk about that in a minute. So one suffers, all suffer. One interesting thing, and you can look a little bit more deeply in this if you'd like to, on the Discovery website, on their Fit and Health website, talks about fever, and I'd heard about this before. I didn't get enough time to spend more looking deeper into it. But it says, one purpose of a fever is thought to be to raise the body's temperature enough to kill off certain bacteria and viruses sensitive to temperature changes. One of the things they talk about there is one thing humans do is that you've got a fever. You're 98.7. You're one-tenth over. We've got to get aspirin in you and get it down. Well, that might help get our fever down, but God actually made our body's temperature rise to try to fight off infection, and that's what they're talking about here. Why do we do that thing when we get sick? Well, it's the body trying to superheat those bacteria and get them out of our system. So God made, just like we talk about, one suffers, all suffer. It's not great for the whole body to have a temperature. You know, you get shakes and you feel bad, but it's actually a process of the body to help you. Again, when we're talking about honor, all rejoice. Why is it that if somebody says something funny to you, you hear it in your ears, you have laughter, or you smile, somebody tells you something. I mean, laughter by itself is just one of those things that's just goofy. It's like hiccups. Why does your body do all that? I mean, why is it when we laugh, our lungs and stomach are expanding and contracting, and our smile won't go off our face, and sometimes we even cry? It's like, what is all that happening? Well, it's because something really funny, or we found funny, happened. One thing about strength, too, you're exercising for something. You're working on trying to be stronger, or maybe you're playing track as a student, or you're trying to do other things like surfing. I was talking to Gina back there while they're on their trip. Maybe that's something cool you do, too. Well, in the process of trying to become a stronger person, all the members are strengthened, so they all rejoice. They're happier that they can do those things. Same thing about excitement. When we're about to do something that we're really looking forward to, why do you get that kind of nervousness and you have that just anticipation in you? All the members of the body just are ready for that. 1 Corinthians 12:27 said, "Now you are the body of Christ and members individually." The missing ingredient, Abe will be talking about this later. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3, "Though I speak with love, speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass and clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." So the love checklist is what I've titled this here. 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. What is love? Love suffers long and is kind. It does not envy. It does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked and it thinks no evil. It does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. And whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Verse 13, "And now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love." We must have faith in God to believe in Him. Faith sustains us through hope. Hope overcomes the bad we face, but without love, all the rest, all those other things, is useless. John 15:12 said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Romans 12:9 says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good." Hypocrisy is something that we see around us, none of us like, but we need to make sure we're careful about that too. When we say we love somebody, we want to show we love them, let's truly love them and not just do something on the surface. Colossians 3:13-15, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must also do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful." Notice that part on there. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must do also. That involves us trying to work out things and talking to one another. 1 Corinthians 14:1, "Pursue love. Doing this first and then desired spiritual gifts," that we talk about later in 1 Corinthians 14. We know that those were things that they had at that time. But before they could have those spiritual gifts that they are after, it says, first of all, pursue love. That's what should be on their minds first. So today we too must first pursue love in all things. I have it the glue of all things, both physical and spiritual. Love brought us into life. Love brought Christ. Love died on the cross, and love saves us. Therefore, we too must love in return. So in summary, our bodies are a great example of diversity in ability and strength working in perfect harmony. Always connected, always one. Like I said, I don't know how often you thought about that, but do think about that when you're trying to better understand exactly how things should work. This lesson should remind us of how we should try to always try to work united with those of our local body, the church. How in sync we are with God and the church trickles down on how we are with those of the world, family, neighbors. Just saying, if we can get to the level where our bodies are so joined together, so able to communicate, so reactive and so helpful for each member, as a congregation, if we've got that, if we've already met it, it's just going to help us in life with our work, people that we work with our neighbors, our friends and family. It'll just be automatic. It won't be something we have to think about. So in closing, Genesis 1:3, "Then the Lord God called Adam and Eve and said, 'Where are you?'" Adam and Eve were hidden by their sins, and yet God's love was seeking them. No, it's a sad thing there. Remember, Adam and Eve was created in the garden. They were perfect. God was very happy with everything that He had done. And when they found that tree and they tasted of that fruit that they were forbidden to eat, and they recognized things that God wasn't wanting them to recognize, they were not able to be found. God's like, "Where are you? I still love you. I already know what you've done, but I'm looking for where you at. And they wouldn't answer at first because they knew they had done wrong. God was seeking them, but they were hidden by sin. Colossians 1:19-20, for it pleased the Father that in Him, or in Christ, all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Colossians 1:21-23, and you were once alienated and enemies in your mind, wicked works, yet now He has reconciled you in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in His sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became minister. This is love. So God's love is poured out for us. His love is eternal. Will you love Him and return to serve Him, or will you love life and seek your own? That's a question we have to ask ourselves and ask those around us. His love requires obedience, repentance, and steadfastness. These are so important. So where do we stand today? This morning, this ends the lesson. I'll leave that up as we go into our song. But consider where we stand before God. Think about the love that He has for us. Think about some of the things that I've brought up this morning. Glennon won't have to activate the Roger's Gone Late buzzer and deal with me. So I think we're on time. Now, how important that is. Love is really the glue, and you talk to anybody. I mean, it's just nothing you really have to think too much about. You want to be loved. Every day you wake up, you want somebody to show affection to you. When you don't get that affection shown to you, you can really get worn down. It can really hurt you because life is not easy. Having just one person in your life that can show that affection, that love, that compassion to you to say, hey, you're an important person, sometimes that's all you need to get through life. Sometimes that's what people are expecting out of us. And so one thing that we need to try to do as a congregation is to try to have that love be able to be emitted from us so that when other people are let down, when life gets too hard for them and they're looking for something, they can look to us and say, you're doing something different. You're peculiar. You seem to be doing what's right. And I really like that. And I love how much you care about me. And if we can do that, we're going to be able to bring people to God more than ever. And so this morning, I encourage you to take your songbooks out and we'll be singing the song that was selected. If you have any needs, whether they be trying to be baptized and to become a son or daughter of God, or to just let them know that God's love has been out there for you and you've been ignoring it for too long, we can let that be known at this time.